We're glad to see you here this morning. Good morning, church. This cold and crazy weekend. I don't know. What is it with the weekends the last few weeks? Can't even get out of school for this stuff. Got to do it on the weekend, right? Well, that's good. Okay. Well, we're in John chapter 10 today, and the title of my message is Life to the Full. And we've been talking about some of the reasons that Jesus came. Jesus came to free us from repressive, oppressive religion. Jesus came to save us from our sins and to save us for Himself. We talked about last week. And this morning we want to talk about Jesus comes to give us life to the full. And so we'll begin in John chapter 10 in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired man and not a shepherd, he who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. There are a lot of people in this life who make it from one paycheck to another. Sometimes they are in debt to their eyeballs, and everything they have goes towards paying that debt off. Other people work very hard, but their salaries are very small. And they're not in debt, but they're not really making a living wage to support themselves or a family. And they just kind of make it from paycheck to paycheck, from week to week, from month to month. You know, the Old Testament gave some rules about paying such people daily so they can make it from day to day. And because living from paycheck to paycheck is often stressful and difficult. I'm sure we've all done it, or maybe you're doing it now. Maybe you're in a stretch of your life where you're doing it now. I often think some people think that the life that we have in Jesus is kind of like that. It's just living with enough to get by. It's just enough to get you to heaven, just enough to make you right with God. But that's all it is to a lot of people. But that's not true eternal life. That's not what it's meant to be. That's not what it's meant to be. Jesus did not come just to give us enough to get by. He came to give us life to the full. And he is not stingy in his giving, but he is giving this life to us, but is more than generous. You know, I love what Romans 8 says, beginning in verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that doesn't sound like eternal life is just enough to get by, does it? The life we have in Jesus is the best life that any person can have. It is the eternal life of knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. It's the best life, the fullest life, the most fulfilling life that can be experienced. And this is truly how God wants us to experience it. As we looked at the reason that Jesus came, we talked about he came to free us from burdens from religion, and he came to save us from our sins, and he came to save us for himself to know, love, and serve him. We want to look today at his coming to give us life abundantly, life to the full. You see, if you have Jesus, you have a far better life than anyone who does not have him could ever obtain. The passage from John's Gospel that we read about Jesus being the good shepherd, I think teaches us this fantastic truth that Jesus, the good shepherd, gives overflowing life to all who trust in him. Jesus, the good shepherd, gives overflowing life to all who trust in him. I want you to see this morning just how good the good shepherd is. First of all, the good shepherd brings protection, but strangers bring danger and destruction. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 10, we read in the ESV, it says, truly, truly. And in the NIV, it says, I tell you the truth. The old King James said, verily, verily. And it's the word we get our word amen from. Amen, amen. And it's a way of Jesus saying, emphasizing the truthfulness or the dependability of what he is about to teach. It's a very important truth. He wants you to get it. So he says, I tell you the truth, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you. And he says, the shepherd, the true shepherd, enters by the door. The true shepherd comes in the correct way. Now, shepherds with different flocks would put their sheep in a common pen. The pen would be watched by someone who knew the door. In fact, the person who controlled the gate or the door would usually place his very body in that door. And he would be the watcher of the pen. And he would only allow those in the pen who were the shepherds of the sheep, of the flocks of sheep that were in the pen. He admitted people in and out of the sheep pen. He had to grant permission. And he only granted permission to those who were real shepherds. Now in the morning, the shepherds would come out. And they would stand at that gate and they would call their sheep. And the sheep would know the voice of the shepherd. They would know their shepherd. Even though there would be many flocks in the pen, the shepherds would call out, and there's a distinctive way Middle Eastern shepherds would do that. They would call their sheep and the sheep would know that this is my shepherd and this my shepherd is calling me. And then he would bring his flock, he would gather his flock, and then he would lead them out to pasture. He would lead them out to pasture. Now, Middle Eastern shepherds, they don't use sheepdogs. They didn't drive the sheep. Most of the time, the sheep were there for their wool. And so they would keep these sheep for many, many years. And so they would lead their sheep in and out, protect them, lead them to pasture, and lead them back safely to the pens. And the shepherds knew, the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. The shepherd would know the names of the sheep. The shepherd had a personal relationship to each of the sheep. And the shepherd provided provision and protection for his sheep. Now, if someone climbed over the wall into the pen, he didn't come there because he loved the sheep. He came there to harm the sheep for his own profit. He would sell them or eat them. His voice would not be the voice of comfort, but the voice of a stranger who brought danger and death to the sheep. But the sheep would recognize the voice of the shepherd. He would be the one to watch over and provide and protect them. He was concerned for their welfare. They knew his voice, that voice that gives life and that protects and provides and never destroys. The shepherd would enter legitimately and lead gently, but the thief would come in illegitimately to destroy. The voice of the shepherd protects and guides. Now, the shepherd might lead through some dangerous situations or over some dangerous terrain, but he would always lead to life and to safety and to protection. He would never lead to ultimate harm or the harm of others. Now, a stranger would come, and his voice might sound compelling and beautiful, but the voice was not the voice of the shepherd, and the voice would lead to destruction. And the voice would lead to destruction. Now, there's a lot of voices out there that are calling to all of us, aren't there? And they're calling to us, and sometimes they're seductive, but they always lead to destruction and to death. Voices that tell you to hurt yourself or others, or to not abide by God's truth or do God's truth, that's not the voice of the shepherd. And so all of us as believers should be able to recognize the voice of the shepherd, because a shepherd does what he does because he loves us and cares for us. You see, the good shepherd brings protection for the sheep, but the stranger brings danger and destruction. But there's something else I want to point out to you about how good the good shepherd is. The good shepherd calls us to eternal abundant life. Now, Jesus prefaces in verse 7 this again by saying, "Truly, truly, amen, amen, verily, verily, I say unto you." And he said, this is the important truth I want you to understand. I am the gate. I am the door. Anyone who come before me or anyone who comes after me who claims to be the way to eternal life or life are thieves and robbers, and true sheep do not listen to them. Now, there's a shift. He switches from him being a shepherd leading in and out of the pen to being the door, the only way to get in the pen. And he says, I am the door. All who came before me and that claimed to give you the way to eternal life, they're thieves and robbers, and the true sheep do not listen to them. He says, I am the door, I am the gate, and all who enter through me will be saved, he says. This is what he wants. He wants for you to be saved and find life and protection through him. And you will if you will go through him, because he alone is the door. If you come through him, you will go in and out and find pastures. You will find life, abundant, overflowing life. He says, if you go through another way, it's the way of the deceiver. It's the way of death, and it does not lead to life. You will not find one who cares about you. Look what he says in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill. And that word kill could be translated slaughter. To steal and to slaughter and destroy. But I came that they might have life and have it to the full. Jesus, as he teaches among the Pharisees and the people that were leading the people not to life, but really away from God by teaching them to try to find God in another way than through faith. And then Jesus was also talking about the thief, the devil himself, who seeks to kill and steal and destroy. That's his purpose. That's what he wants to do to you. You see, a lot of people said the devil, you know, it's like if you go the way of the devil, you can have a good time. No. You might have a good time for a while, but it's a good time that's going to lead you to death and destruction and ruin. Because he doesn't care about you. He only wants to dishonor God. The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. The thief cares nothing about the sheep, but only want to use the sheep for their selfish and destructive purposes. But the shepherd comes to give life and give it to the full. You see, Jesus wants you to have life to the full. He wants you to have life to the full. And his ways will always lead to life. And he leads to life. But the way of the thief leads to destruction. I've been watching a documentary on Scientology. Anybody watching that? Lee Remini. She's an actress and she was in Scientology for many years. And then she made a break with them. And then she began to delve into the destructive ways of Scientology, which is a cult. And so it's a fascinating kind of documentary. Like every cult and false religion, Scientology benefits the leaders of Scientology by making average followers of Scientology pay thousands of dollars, and it destroys them and their families. And then if they begin to try to leave it, then it comes after them with a vengeance. You see, it comes to kill and steal and destroy. And every religion truly will do that ultimately. To kill and steal and destroy. It doesn't lead to life. It doesn't lead to peace and to hope. It never fulfills its promises. You see, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but Jesus comes that you might have life. If you want to have life, you got to find it in Jesus. What Jesus says here, he also says in John 14:6, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the life. There are a lot of voices out there, but only one, the voice of Jesus, is life. He is the voice that saves. And so he leads to life, but he also leads to abundant, overflowing life. The Greek perisson means that which goes beyond necessity. See, Jesus wanted all his readers to know that the gift of Jesus is life beyond our wildest dreams. The life Jesus offers you is better, it's fuller, it's greater than any other life that you can have. Now, sometimes we make it dull and sometimes we play it safe. I don't think they did that in the Bible. You don't see guys playing it safe in the book of Acts, do you? You don't see Peter and John going before the leaders who said, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And you don't see them saying, well, we don't want to make you guys mad or anything. No, that's not what they said at all. They said, do you think it's right to obey God or man? We cannot stop from proclaiming what we've seen and heard. See, you find bold people, risk-taking people, who follow Jesus, and Jesus gives them life to the full. The life Jesus offers is better, it's fuller, it's greater than any other life that you can have. You know, sometimes as Christians who take the scripture seriously in our reaction to some of the false teachings of the prosperity gospel, we act like being a follower of Jesus is drudgery or duty or dull, and it's not. It's not. It's the best life that you can have in this world, and its fringe benefits for eternal life are out of this world. You see, the Good Shepherd gives life abundantly, life overflowing to those who believe in him. And finally, I want you to see one more thing about how good the Good Shepherd is. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for sheep. The ultimate reason the good shepherd is so good is that the good shepherd lays down his life for, in place of, in behalf of the sheep. You see, the good shepherd, as you continue to go on, he provides and protects them, for them in the face of great danger of the wolf coming in. The false shepherd, the hired man, flees when the wolves come because he didn't really care for the sheep. The sheep, he doesn't care for them. And so the false, the hirelings, they flee. But the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd knows his own. And just as the Father knows him and he knows the Father, he knows his own, he laid down his life for the sheep. And then he says there are other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, that are not of this of this fold, and I'm going to bring them in also. He's talking about the worldwide mission to all the worlds with the gospel of Jesus. You see, these Jews thought that they were the chosen people, chosen only to just kind of soak in God's blessings. You know, whenever we talk about being whenever we talk about being chosen by God, sometimes we get the impression that that's kind of a privilege thing. No, God chooses you that you may take his gospel to the ends of the earth. He chooses you to work through you to bless the world. And so, you know, the sheep are not of just of the Jewish fold, but of all the world. It's not multiple flocks, but one flock. The good shepherd, he lays down his life on behalf of the sheep. You see, isn't that what Paul says? And he says, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then the scripture tells, Jesus says, the good shepherd has the power to lay down his life, and he also has the power to take his life up again. His life will not be forcefully taken away from him, not by groups of wicked men, not by all the demon hordes of hell. No, Jesus lays his down. You remember, you know, when I was young, we used to sing a song in a youth group called Who Killed Jesus? And then ultimately, the answer was, you know, you ask God, was it Pontius Pilate? Was it the Hebrew children? Who killed Jesus? My sin killed Jesus. It put him on the cross. But really, that's not really even right. Because Jesus willingly died so that our sins could be forgiven. He laid down his life. No one could have taken it from him if he had not been willing to give it. He laid down his life for the sheep. He gives it. He has the power to give it, and he has the power to take it up again. He's not just some martyr dying for a worthy cause. Jesus has the power to take life up again. That's why Christians are different than everybody else. We have a Savior that went into the tomb, dead as a doornail, and came out of it 3 days later, alive and never to die again. Nobody else has ever done that. But Jesus did it for you and I, and one day he'll call us all from the grave. But he's not some martyr. He has the power to lay down his life and power to take it up again. He's stronger than death. And so his sheep, his children, are protected and given life, and we ultimately know how much how the price that he paid for our salvation and how much he loves us. I heard someone say once, kings of all ages and all times have asked their subjects to lay down their lives for them and their kingdoms. Jesus is the only king that has laid down his life for his subjects. You see, we were in danger, and Jesus laid down his life for us. Do you hear his voice? The voice of one calling you today? It's the voice of one stronger than death who took his life up against once again so that he can give you abundant life today as we say yes to him. You see, Jesus is the good shepherd, and there's no one better. He gives overflowing life to all who trust in him. He brings protection, but strangers bring danger and destruction. The good shepherd calls us to find abundant eternal life through him, and he lays down his life for the sheep. You see, he doesn't just want to give you just enough to get by. He wants you to have life and have it in all its fullness. It's the best life you can have, and he offers it to you today. He offers it to all of us if we hear his voice and we receive him and follow him. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, that you are a good shepherd, and you lay down your life for the sheep. And Father, you don't just offer us enough to get by, Father, but you promise life to the full. Life at its best is in you. Jesus, help us to experience that and help us to share that life with others. Lord, may it be true in our lives that, Lord, if we're just getting by as Christians and we're just kind of surviving, teach us how to live in the abundant life that you want us to live in. Teach us how to live trusting and seeing you work and sensing your presence. Lord, help us to know that abundant life that you truly want each of us to experience. Lord, I pray any today who've been deceived and they think there's life somewhere else, Lord, I pray that you'd open their eyes to see that life is found in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. It is in his name that I pray. Amen.